Amen. Glory to God. Let the weight of your glory fall on us even this morning, Lord. Let the truth of your kingdom be revealed in us. Lord, oh, we worship you this morning. Cover us, O Lord. Let your river, let the presence of God flow even through us like a river this morning. Glory to God. Let us be carriers of that glory. We are not worthy. We are not worthy, Lord. But we submit ourselves even unto you this morning. We submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, look upon us this morning with your loving kindness. Look upon us with your grace. Look upon us, O Lord, with favor in the name of Jesus, that we may come into your presence, that we may partake, O Lord, even of the presence of the Lord, your awesome glory, your awesome presence. Lord, we stand in awe of you this morning. We stand in awe of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, this morning. Glory to God. Somebody ought to praise him here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we stand in awe of you this morning, here in your presence. Oh, may we set our eyes upon you, Lord, as we stand in awe of your presence. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, may you speak. Let our own words be few, but let your word be heard. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome presence of the Lord is with us this morning. Can you feel it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, because we lay down to sleep. And here we are. You woke up us this morning. You woke us up, Lord. We could not do it by our own strength. But it is a new day, the day which the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And this day will be subject to us. Yes, because we were not created for the day. The day was created for us. Therefore, let this day be subject unto us in all things. And may we also be subject to the Lord. We hold in nothing. We surrender all before you even on this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Ah, fill us, oh God, through and through with your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, I surrender to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. I surrender all to you, Lord, withholding nothing. May that be our prayer here this morning. That you may have all. We give it all back to you, Lord, this morning. Everything that we ever had, all that we ever hoped to be, we owe it all to you and we give it all back to you. We cast our crowns, our achievements before you, Lord, this morning. They are nothing. They are nothing in your presence because you are all in all. Father, we stand in awe of you this morning. We worship you. We glorify you. Somebody ought to glorify him this morning and praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. The Lord is good. Amen. It's a good day. It's a new day. It's a great time. You know, I'm just feeling good. Praise God. Is it well with you this morning? Is it well with you? Come on in and let's praise the Lord together. Good morning, Raven. God bless you. Welcome, Sister Julia. Welcome, Statutilio Grace and Pearl and Colorful. Welcome, honey. Good morning, everyone. Is it well with all of you this morning? Can you feel his presence? Can you feel the Spirit of God? Oh, yes. The Lord is good. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to have a powerful prayer session this morning. I want to make it a prayer session. But we will share the word just a little bit. I always like the word. The word always goes first, you know, because, you know, so we can see, we can base our, you know, prayers or whatever we're doing based on the word of God. That's always the thing. That's how to do it. The word goes first. As a matter of fact, does not the scripture say that thy word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, but it is a light to the path ahead of me. So you shine the word to the path ahead of you, you know, and then move into that path. The word always goes first. Glory to God. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And let that light shine more and more unto a perfect day. Hallelujah. Yes, the steps of a righteous man are as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Are your steps shining more and more unto the perfect day? Are they shining more and more unto the perfect day? Yes, it is the saying of the Lord that our steps will shine more and more unto the perfect day. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just take a minute and praise him this morning. Praise him for his goodness. The scripture says, praise him everywhere. Praise him in the temple. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him whenever. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. A shining more and more unto a perfect day. That's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The ways of the righteous. Whew. Thank you, Lord. The path of the just is as a shining light. Shine it more and more unto the perfect day. May that be our case this morning, every day of our lives. You know, let our path be as the shining light. Let it shine even more and more, even unto the perfect day, in the name of Jesus. Well, welcome, Sam. Good morning and good to see you. Yeah, we're going to get started right away. I want you to share the room, please. If you would, share the room on Clubhouse. Share the room to, you know, a few people here and there. See if they can join us. And we're going to get started right away. Glory to God. So today, I'm going to be talking about, this is one of our morning rooms, in case this is your first time. I'm not sure if there's anybody's first time, but in case. The morning room, you know, and the Lord commanded this room, and he ordered it according to his own will. And we come in the beauties of holiness, in the womb of the morning. And we pray that the Lord will make us willing in the day of his power. Psalm 110 and verse 3, say, thy people, in order for us to experience his power, we got to be willing. But, you know, if it turns out that we are not willing, then we pray that the Lord will make us willing. And why can that be the case sometimes? Well, it is the case even most of the times because the Spirit is what's willing. But the flesh is unwilling. Flesh is weak. Flesh doesn't want to do it. You know, but by the grace of God, we will be willing in the day of his power, such as this, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. The Lord will command upon us the dew of youth. He will command upon us great things, even as it is this day, according to Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. So today we're going to be talking about vicarious faith. And we're going to use that in our prayer this morning. Well, what is that all about? Well, that means faith in the place of or on behalf of someone else. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to stand in the gap today. Not for ourselves exactly. And we do that all the time. But today it's going to be for somebody else. Glory to God. It could be for family. It could be for friends. It could be for children. It could be for whatever, you know, or whomever, you know. So, but let's take a few stories from the Bible and let's see how the faith of others worked. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And in these examples, we'll see, you know, how the Lord honored someone else's faith. So let's start here in the book of Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read from about verse 17 or so. So in this story, Jesus was in the house. And the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Even so much so that everybody, you know, was coming and going and all that. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whew, I love that. The power of the Lord was present. Well, may the power of the Lord be present here today to heal bitter waters in the name of Jesus. May the power of the Lord issue out from this place, even as a river. Glory to God. Wherever that river gets onto today, let it heal whatever it touches. There's a river that we're going to send out here by the grace of God. Well, actually, God does it. But it will issue out on account of our prayers. We saw that in Ezekiel 37. We've covered that before. Wherever, you know, I mean, Ezekiel 47, I mean, wherever that river gets to, it will heal whatever it touches. And there will be a great multitude of fish. But that's not my subject this morning. Let me get right back to this Luke chapter 5. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought a man in a bed, you know, which was taken with palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him and to lay him before the Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. I mean, there were so many people in there. They could not get through the crowd. Make way, make way. Nobody was going to give way because everybody wanted to have a bird's eye view or whatever. They wanted to have an eyewitness view. They wanted to be right there. They wanted to be so close. They were hearing his teaching, seeing what he was doing. And these people could not get through. And because they could not get through, I mean, they went up on the housetop, we're told, and let him down through the roof or the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, let's just consider that for a minute. I mean, that was no small feat to do that. But let's say the house was even a bungalow, you know. You got to climb up and you got to somehow, you know, get this stretcher or bed or whatever they're using to carry this guy. You got to get it up there. then you got to tear the roof, you know, and do all this. Now, this was no small feat what they had to do. And they, you know, they couldn't even care less if somebody was going to, you know, arrest them for breaking up someone else's house. It wasn't their house, but they were desperate. They were desperate. And they went up on the roof. Maybe they had to go get some rope. I don't know how long it took them to do this thing, but what, however long it took them, just imagine it in your minds. They did do it. Finally got him up on the roof. They might have made a couple of attempts. Maybe the first time they tried to do it, the thing slipped back out of their hands. They tried again. You know, this is not something people do every day, is carry a stretcher up on the roof. You know, so I'm sure, you know, they made a few attempts before they got it right. But somehow, they got it right. And when they got on the roof, they had to break up the roof, you know, and, you know, lower this man down gently. My goodness. Wow. And listen to what the next verse says. And when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man on the couch or the man on the stretcher. No. He saw their faith. It was their faith that he saw. The man was probably helpless, couldn't do anything, probably couldn't say anything, probably was out of it. We don't know. But it was the faith of his friends, whether they were family or friends, we don't know. But these people that brought him in had faith for him to be healed. And it wasn't even his faith that Jesus was referring to here. But when Jesus saw their faith, then he turned to the man. Hallelujah. And say, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Glory to God. Of course, you know, the Pharisees would challenge that because who is this man that forgives sin? I was speaking such blasphemy and so on. And Jesus said unto, why do you say these things in your heart? Which one is easier? Thy sins be forgiven thee or to say, rise up and walk? Well, I ask you today, those of you who are here, which is easier? Thy sins be forgiven thee to say that or to say, rise up and walk? Obviously, it's a whole lot easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, because we don't know. You know, it's not a physical thing that will happen. Whether the man's sins will be forgiven or not, we don't know. You can say it and just move on. But if you say in the presence of everybody, rise up and walk, and the person doesn't rise up and walk, then that's a harder thing to say. So Jesus said, look, I said the easy thing which you guys are complaining about, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He now turns to the sick of the palsy and says the hard thing. Arise and take up thy bed and the couch and go into thine own house. And immediately, and I love that word, immediately he rose up before them. Thank you, Jesus. But let's see how this miracle played out. It was the faith of his friends or whoever those were, maybe members of his family, maybe his friends, whoever, you know, those that carried him. It was their faith that achieved this miracle. So that's why we call it vicarious faith. They were standing in the gap for someone else. They believed God for someone else. And sometimes we hide behind the fact that, oh, well, maybe the person is not believing. Well, maybe, maybe not. But you can believe on their behalf. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to be doing here this morning. We can believe on their behalf, and we will do exactly that. And I have a couple more stories. You know, there was a man, you know, who, you know, here in the story of Matthew chapter 8, we see this story that Jesus, this story of the centurion. Okay, so let me start from maybe verse 5. And as Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion unto him, beseeching him. What is a centurion? Well, he's a captain of 100. A battalion of 100 is a centurion. So, evidently a Roman soldier. And he's saying unto him, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, we've seen the case of a set of friends, maybe four people that carried that. In another place, he was born of four. You know, so we see that, you know, they were his friends or family. We don't know exactly the relationship. Here we see the relationship of a boss. This centurion, it was his servant that was sick. So there was this boss-servant relationship here. It wasn't even his son in this case. It was his servant. But he had compassion on this man and said, you know, came and asked the Lord to heal his servant. And the Lord said, I will come and heal him. Now, notice also the way that Jesus said that. I will come and heal him. Because that's what the guy was asking. Come, you know, the man was asking, he said, look, my servant is grievously ill, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Actually, initially, the man wasn't asking Jesus to come at all. He was just reporting the case. And when he said, I will come and heal him, the centurion said to the Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak that word only. And you know this story. And my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and my servant do this, and he doeth it. So this man used his own situation to analyze, you know, the power that Jesus must have. Because I, being a commander, when I can command people to do these things, they do it. So you, being a commander in the spirit, I know that you can give the word and it will be done. And the Bible says that Jesus marveled. You know, Jesus didn't always marvel. But in this case, he marveled. You know, that means he was impressed. You know, and he said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there are many that shall come out of the east and west and sit down and do all of these things, you know, and the kingdom children will be cast out, you know. And this man was not even a Jew, but he used tremendous faith to draw out the power of the Lord. But he was having faith for someone else. As having faith for his servant in this case. And we don't know whether the servant had any faith or not. But this man had faith for his servant to be healed. And Jesus said, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So this is case number two that we've seen now of vicarious faith. People using their faith on behalf of somebody else. Now, whether that somebody else believed or not did not even come into play here. Glory to God. So, I welcome everyone again into the room. Brother Benjamin, good to see you. Egbosa, good to see you. We're talking on vicarious faith this morning. Having faith in place of or on behalf of someone else. And we're going to do that in prayer shortly. We've seen the case of some friends that brought somebody on a stretcher to Jesus in Luke chapter 5, and because they couldn't get to him, they went up on the roof, tore the roof up, and let the man down in front of Christ. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he healed that man. But it was their faith that he saw, not the man's faith. Now, we've seen the case of this centurion fellow who had faith for his servant to be healed. Now, you may have a co-worker. This is a co-worker situation here, the man or a boss versus a somebody that worked for him. You know, it could be a business relationship, you know, that brought you together with somebody. You know, sometimes we think that Well, we cannot stand in the gap for such. We see here in the scripture, you can stand in the gap for anybody. That's what we're doing today. Anybody at all. And especially when that person is incapacitated and they are, you know, in trouble. There are serious problems and they can't even pray. They're grievously ill, grievously tormented, about to give up the ghost. Or they're paralyzed, as we've seen. Or whatever the situation is. Let's look at a few more stories. You know, there's a case of a mother. And these ones are, you know, coming closer to home now. There's a case of a mother that would beseech Jesus for her daughter. You know, so we know this story, right? We call her the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15. And she came to the Lord. Let's pick it up from maybe verse 22 or so. And she comes to the Lord. There was a woman of Canaan. Came out of the coast and cried unto him and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." So this one is daughter. The other one were friends. The other one was a, you know, servant situation. Now it's a mother-daughter situation. And in each one of these cases, it wasn't the case of the person, I mean, it wasn't the faith of the person that was sick that got them healed. It was the faith of somebody else. So let's take a look at this story, which you all know. And Jesus at first wouldn't answer her. And the disciples beseeched him to send her away. And Jesus said, "Look, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, since you are not of the house of Israel, at this time I'm not sent to you. And she came and worshipped him. She wouldn't give up. And then the Lord said, "Look, I can't really take children's bread and give it to dogs right now, can I?" That's enough. If that's not enough to send the woman away, I mean, first he said he answered her not a word. You know, then he said to her, "I can't take what's children and give it to bread. I mean, to dogs." I mean, on and on and on. I mean, that's enough to discourage this woman. But this woman, her daughter is dying. She's not going to give up. She doesn't care what anybody says. She's going to get that miracle. And then she said to the Lord, "Well, you know," and then you have to wait. You have to watch what the Lord says to you and then latch on to whatever he says. So this woman was quick to latch on to, you know, she had, a spirit of understanding, quick to understand something here. You know, she immediately took what the Lord said. Said, "Well, yep, true, Lord, you cannot give children's bread to dogs. But when the children are eating of the bread, the crumbs will fall to the ground from the table, and the dogs can eat the crumbs." Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, "My goodness, great is thy faith." You know, this is the second time, you know, the centurion, he said, "I have not seen so great faith." And this woman also, "Great is thy faith." And he said, "Look, be it unto you as thou wilt." Same thing as the other man. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now, again, this is vicarious faith in the place of somebody else. It wasn't the daughter herself, but it was the mother standing in the gap. So we've seen different relationships. How about a father? How about a father that brought his child, you know, to the disciples to be healed? It wasn't the child himself that was needed to be healed. I mean, that needed to be healed that was having faith. It was the father. We read that in Matthew chapter 17. Pick up the story from around verse 14. Of course, you know, in this story, Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration with three disciples. He came back. And the rest of them, you know, they were faced with, this situation, but they couldn't cast out the devil. So the man came you know, to Jesus and said, Lord, you know, the man said that came unto him, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now, this is father's son now. For he's a lunatic and so vexed. He oftentimes falls into fire and often into the water. The devil is trying to kill this boy. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not kill him. And Jesus, in the other cases, see how Jesus was impressed with faith. See in this case how Jesus was not impressed with praise. In fact, he was disappointed. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. These are his disciples. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And he rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And then, you know, of course, you know how the later on the disciples came and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? Well, you couldn't cast him out for many reasons. Jesus said, number one, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this, you looked at the mountain there, you know, remove hence to yonder place and it shall remove and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, you know, when I defended you that you didn't have to fast and pray as long as the bridegroom was with you, you all were happy and you all were eating and you didn't have to fast and pray. But I guarantee you some stuff you're going to have to fast and pray for. Remember the story of when Jesus, when the, you know, Pharisees and everybody, Jews came and accused him, say, yo, why is it that the disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees and all these people fast, you know, and, but yours, they're always eating. And Jesus defended them and said, look, can the children of the, you know, bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? No. You know, but in the days when he'll be taken from them, then shall they fast in those days. So while Jesus was defending them, they were happy eating. But here comes a situation which they could not handle because they were not fasting. You know, so we see the importance of fasting here. Even though that's not our lesson today, I have to call it out because it's part of this story. Fasting and prayer is an important part of our spiritual walk with God. Now, God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's always doing that. You know, and sometimes when we talk about that, we are thinking of only intercessory prayer. You know, that standing in the gap. Intercessory prayer is good, but not only prayer. You can stand in the gap with your faith or get somebody else healed. We've seen four stories here already. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13 and verse 5, God is always looking for somebody to stand in the gap. You know, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the day of battle, to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. So he wants them, you know, to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22 will also tell you that if you look at Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, will tell us that as well. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, so, you know, God can answer your faith even when you stand on behalf of somebody else. Now, I'm sure everybody in this room today, you know, has a prayer need for somebody else. And good to see you, Sister Heather. I'm glad you are here. As I responded to your message yesterday, that we will be standing in the gap for our families today. So you be here. And I'm glad that you are here. You know, so you're going to stand in the gap for your daughter. Glory to God. And you're going to use your faith. Never mind, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you know, go tell your daughter that she needs to believe. Well, that's for another day. Today, you will use your faith for your daughter. Today, whoever you are that's in here, you're going to use your faith for somebody that you are believing God for. Never mind whether they are believing or not. You know, we hide behind that many times and say, well, the person is not believing. these stories that we have read right now, four of them at least, you know, we didn't see the case where Jesus was challenging the people whether the actual recipient of the miracle believed. You know, he didn't care about that. As long as somebody that was asking believed. So if you're the one that's asking and you believe, we're going to see the Lord do mighty things here in this room today. This is our room today. This is the call today. Every room as we come in here by the grace of God is different, but that's what we are doing today. Isaiah 62 and verse 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, you see, in this case, these watchmen are praying for Jerusalem. And it is not Jerusalem's faith that the Lord is going to hear. It is the faith of the watchmen that the Lord is going to hear. I mean, we can go on and on and on about this, you know, throughout the Bible. This principle is expressed, but sometimes we don't latch onto it. You know, even when we're praying for the sick believers, we are told, Jesus said, look, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. It's not talking about the sick believing anything, you know. It is you that you are believing. You will lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. That's it. You know, so let's not hide behind the fact that, oh, well, maybe the person didn't believe. But what about you? Did you believe? If your faith is strong enough, you can believe for the two of you. Glory to God. So, well, I do know that faith is important. There are also times when Jesus couldn't do miracles in some places because they did not believe. There was nobody standing in the gap for those people. You know, so, you know, it was just a case that those people were not believing, but there wasn't anybody believing for them. You know, so if somebody is believing for somebody else, you know, why should, I mean, it's a one-on-one situation, right? One person is not believing, another person is believing. Why should God, you know, why should only the one that's not believing get the upper hand? Why not the one that's believing? You know, don't you, I mean, doesn't everybody say one with God is a majority? I mean, we say that all the time. But when it comes to things of faith, we don't use it. If you are the one that's believing, why is it that the person that is not believing, is their unbelief going to not make your prayer to be heard or make your prayer to not be heard? Why? You know, so those people, in the places where Jesus couldn't do miracles, they were not believing God, but there was nobody believing on their behalf. That's why Jesus could not do any miracles there. If there would have been somebody believing God on their behalf, Jesus would have still done the miracle. You know, so let's understand that today. Mark chapter 16 tells us, look, these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, when we go out, he wasn't talking about, you know, check to see if the person that you're laying hands on believes God. Nothing like that. He didn't say anything like that. Well, I challenge you to show it to me in the scripture if he says that. You know, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16 and verse 17. You know, Jesus is talking about the person that believes, not the person that doesn't believe. You know, in my name, they shall cast out devils. The person they are casting the devils out from may or may not believe. Jesus didn't say anything about that. You know, they shall take up serpent, they shall drink any deadly thing and all of that. You know, here is all the things that Jesus is telling us to do. Cast out devils. I mean, do these things, you know, and lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. You know, he's not asking whether the sick person believes God first. You know, this is the thing. If you saw in the ministry of Jesus, he sometimes would heal them first before he would, you know, tell them, ask them anything. There is a story in the one he healed in John chapter 5, the one, the one he healed in John chapter 5, the man with the case, 38 years that he was always coming, you know, and waiting for the steering of the pool and all of that, you know. And he healed the man first. Anyway, when he came to him and asked him, would you be made whole? And Jesus didn't ask whether, do you believe? No, that's not what Jesus said. Let's read the story. John chapter 5. There was a certain man there. You know, he says, you know, in the, you know, he said there was a great multitude of impotent folk. John chapter 5 verse 3. Blind, halt, without waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus said unto him, would you like to be made whole? Now, Jesus didn't say, do you have faith to be healed? Jesus didn't say that. You know, let's take note of this. Jesus didn't ask the man whether he had faith. All he said is, do you want to be healed? And the man said, what kind of question is that? You know, of course I want to be healed. I've been coming here all this time, trying to get in this water. Every time the angel moves, I'm trying to get in, but because of my situation, I can't get in fast enough. Somebody gets in ahead of me and gets a miracle. Of course I want to be healed. What do you mean, I want to be healed? And the Lord said to me, look, forget the water, forget the angel. Today, it's not about that. I am right here. Take up thy bed and walk. My goodness. And immediately, verse 9, the man was made whole. I love that word, immediately. You know, and as the story went and so on and so forth, you know, so later on, Jesus found him in the temple in verse 14 and says to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. Now Jesus is now preaching to him. He didn't preach to him the first time. Just healed the man. You know, he healed the man right away. You know, then later on, he came back and preached to the guy. You know, so, you know, let's make sure we understand this principle. And this is a correction that the Lord is bringing, because the way we do things today, when it is time to pray for the sick, we preach and preach and preach to them and tell them, ask them if they believe up and down, you know, and then we have excuse to hide behind the fact that they don't believe, you know. So, of course, the guy doesn't believe anything because he hasn't seen the power of God, you know. But miracles cannot be denied. You know, heal this man already and then ask him if he believes. And let's change our perspective. The culture of waiting until somebody believes before they can get a miracle. And let's begin to change that culture. You know, stand in the gap. Use your own faith. Don't worry about whether the person believes or not. We've seen enough stories here today to see, you know, that, you know, the Lord can answer, you know, your own faith. There's another story in John chapter 9. The man who was born blind, which the disciples asked Jesus, who was it that sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, look, in order that the works of God might be answered, made manifest in him. So Jesus told the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man came and washed, and he began to receive his sight. So the Pharisees started challenging him. Like, you can't do that. Of course, you know, you cannot, especially you can't do this on a Sabbath day and all of that. So finally, you know, after all said and done, after they asked him, they even asked his parents, they asked everything. Then Jesus, they cast this man out of the temple, if you read the whole story, because they were saying that, look, you know, who are you to tell us that this man was a man of God? He could not have been a man of God, you know, because he was doing a miracle on a Sabbath day, you know, and the man of God cannot break the word of God, you know. So, well, this man said, look, this is an incredible thing that this man is a sinner. We have not heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind, but here, he opened my eyes. If he were a sinner, God would not hear him. And it's cast him out. You were altogether born in sin. Now you are going to teach us. And they cast him out. We are Moses' disciple. If you want to be this man's disciple, that's your problem. Out of here. So they cast him out. So later on, the Bible says that Jesus found him in verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Now, Jesus is now asking him. Jesus already healed him. I want you guys, every one of us, let's pay attention to this. Jesus already healed the man. Okay? Now, he's now asking him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He said, "Well," the man said, "Well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" You see, now, Jesus has got his attention because he's received a miracle and he knows that this is the man that, you know, help him get that miracle. Now, if you tell him something, he's more likely to believe now. Now, if we tell them, if we try to get them to believe, and you can't show them the power of God, they may not believe anything. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, in the, so you see that this, Jesus now said to him, "Look, you've seen him and he's talking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now, look at the sequence of events here. It wasn't, "Do you believe in the Son of God" first that Jesus said when he saw this man? He didn't say that. I just healed the man. Told him what to do that the man might receive his healing. And the man, when he received his healing, afterward, Jesus asked him if he believed. Now let's learn from these things. All these stories that we have read so far, there's not one place, not a single place where we see that the person to receive the miracle was first challenged to see whether they believed in order for them to receive the miracle. It was sufficient for somebody else's faith. And even in this case of this man, there was nobody in between him and Christ. It was just him and Christ. Christ just healed him anyway. The same thing with the man at the pool, you know, that was waiting for the stirring of the water. Christ healed him anyway. And later on, he preached to him. Same thing here. Healed him first and then later preached to him. And do you know that miracles are so powerful like that? So powerful that, you know, the people, even the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, all the people that hated the new way, they couldn't do anything against the miracles. You know, when John and Peter healed a man that was, you know, in the temple in Acts chapter 3, and they, you know, they told them, "We don't want you to preach on in this name," and everything. There's nothing, you know, they said, "Well, you know, that a notable miracle has been done. There is nothing we can do about it." You know, so they can tell them not to preach, but this is a notable miracle and we cannot do anything about it. So they see that, you know, this is the way to walk, to bring attention to the power of God. Let's read this in Acts chapter 4, you know, verses 15 and 16. Now, prior to that, the story of healing the man and all of that and so on, you know, and when the religious people, you know, gathered them, they didn't want to, you know, Peter and John to be preaching the name of Jesus. But here's what they said. "And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." This is verse 14 of Acts chapter 4. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" That's it right there. You cannot deny miracles. You know, so that is the power of witness through miracles. It's more powerful than anything else. And when we tell people, "Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?" You know, they may or may not believe, but, you know, if you work a miracle for them and then afterward ask them if they believe, they are more likely to believe. You know, so this is the story and our lesson today. There's two sides to this lesson and we are going to pray. The first side is using your faith on behalf of somebody else. That's called vicarious faith. Having faith on behalf or in place of somebody else. That's number one. It could be a family member. It could be a daughter. It could be a son. It could be a boss. It could be a co-worker. It could be a friend. It could be somebody. You know, a brother, a sister, whoever in the church, whomever, you know, we can stand the gap for somebody else, especially when they are incapacitated and they cannot believe. We've seen multiple stories here. The second thing that I'm calling out in this lesson today is that let us use our faith correctly and not hide behind the veil that somebody else is not believing. That's why they're not getting the miracle. You know, there is no requirement here in these stories that we have seen, even in Mark chapter 16, the commission to go out and heal the sick. Jesus didn't say, well, if those people believe, then they will be healed. He said, no, you lay hands on them and heal them. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's change the culture. Let's shake things up and let's believe God. Let's step out in faith and believe God. Don't worry about whether the person believes or not. You walk that miracle. We see the Sanhedrin here. You know, they said, look, you know, we don't want these people to preach in the name of Jesus. But what can we do? There's a notable miracle that has been done here, evidently, before the people. And we cannot deny it. You know, so you see right there, you cannot deny, nobody can deny miracles, signs, and wonders. So, you know, and Jesus used that technique. First, heal the person. Then come back and say, do you believe? And say, well, Lord, who is it that I might believe? Now they have a tendency to believe because they have received a miracle at your hands. And say, oh, well, you know, this God that you serve, well, you know, then, you know, their hearts begin to heal. But if we just meet them and tell them, do you believe on Jesus? They may or may not believe. We don't know that. But if we can work a miracle, you know, in the name of the Lord for them in their life, they are more likely to believe. Now, let's go back to lesson number one. The two lessons today that I've covered. Lesson number one, stand in the gap for somebody today. Now, if that's you, here's what I want you to do. If that's you today and there is somebody that you are standing in the gap for, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to bring you to stage necessarily. But raise your hand and stand for that person and have that person's name on your lips. For you, Heather, I know you're standing for your daughter, Janae. I don't know if that's how to say her name, as you told me yesterday. And I said, come in the room today, because that's exactly what we are doing today. He's standing in the gap. Or somebody else. You are going to use your faith, not her faith, yours, to believe God. You know, so if that's you in here this morning, raise your hand or put it in the chat room, what you are believing God for, what you are standing for today, and we are going to pray. Now, I have given the lesson. I've shown from the word of God by evidence that cannot be refuted that God is able to answer vicarious faith on behalf of somebody else. I have shown it today by the number of cases that we've looked at in the Bible. So we have no excuse. No excuse now when you are believing God for somebody. And it's not just healing. You know, you may be believing for a situation that is out of your hands, or something that is going to, you know, create a tragedy or problem or bring distress or sorrow, a situation, and you want God to remove it. You're believing for that person. You may be believing for your sons, your children. You may be believing for your daughter. You may be believing for your husband, even, or your wife. It doesn't matter. You may be believing for a friend. You may be believing for a co-worker. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Glory to God. You know, so now, especially now, we're not talking about believing for them to be saved. You can't believe for somebody else to be saved. That's not what we're talking about. That can't happen. You can believe God and pray, but they must believe on the Lord Jesus themselves. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking for them to receive a miracle. These are two separate things. You know, giving their lives to Christ, becoming converted into the kingdom of God, that's something else. But this is a gateway that can help them. This is an instrument. This is a catalyst that can move them in that direction when they receive a miracle, a notable miracle that cannot be denied. So I'm not talking about believing for somebody else to be saved and thinking that your faith is going to save them. That's not what I'm talking about. But when there somebody is in a crisis situation, as we've seen here, many situations where the daughter was grievously sick, needed to be healed, it was the mother that believed. We saw the case where the father believed for his son. We saw the case where the commander believed for his servant, even. He wasn't even a member of his household. It was a centurion. It was his servant. But he cared enough to believe for the servant. And he even said, look, you don't even need to come into my house. Just say the word. This man will be healed. I believe it. Because I've seen it happen. When I give command, people do it. So on and on and on and on. So that's where we are today. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to pray. Hallelujah. It is time for us to pray. I want you to pray wherever you are. Pray and believe God. And we're going to do this. Now, I did ask people to raise their hand or put it in the chat, and we're going to pray together over whatever it is that you are standing for. Glory to God. So, we're in the hour right now. We're in the hour. Who are you standing for? Who are you believing God for today? I mean, it's your faith that's going to bring the miracle for them. You know, not necessarily their faith. So that's the prayer that we're going to pray today. And that's the challenge that I want to give with us, to start thinking that way. You know, that we can actually believe God for somebody else. Glory to God. So,